Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you good for this April 25th, 2023. It is 7:02 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maylov, here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we are joined by a pretty nice morning so far.
Not too shabby.
Not bad out there. We can take that. We can take this. We're going to have some fun this morning, everybody. We're going to get into our national parks. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
Ooh.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a lot of fun. We're also going to get into the perfect length for a nap.
Ah, much divided on this.
We've had some conversations about this in the past, but this time we're getting the info from NASA.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're the ones that should know.
I don't know. Should they? I don't know. I don't know why NASA's jumping in on the
pretty smart people.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. 1,000%. Yes. I just never would have thought of NASA and NASA necessarily together. But
I think they've done a lot of research on how much sleep you need to function.
Yeah. They see, and of course, I wouldn't know anything about this considering I know nothing about sleep. I'm horrible at sleep.
True. But you like science.
I do love science. I'm looking forward to getting into that a little bit later. We'll also be getting into our National Day of Calendar. We'll be tackling that in just a little bit. We're going to have some fun with it. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're looking forward to diving into that. We got some other cool things we want to get into. In the 9 o'clock hour, some entertainment news for you. I want to touch on a little bit of that. I've got some information about all the chaos that happened yesterday with the news outlets.
Which one? Because there's a lot of chaos that happened yesterday.
We've been waiting for major news a little bit. I wouldn't say major news. We've been waiting for it, but there hasn't been anything too big in a while. And then back to back. They're like yesterday, just
boom,
three
boom,
big
boom.
Stories.
Yep.
Just boom, boom, boom. We'll get into a little bit of that in our entertainment section. I also want to get into something Harrison Ford let us know about Indiana Jones.
Oh.
And Ryan Reynolds did something pretty dang cool. It's actually a good story along with being in our entertainment section. So
Okay. Getting
into all that. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. You know? On the way here this morning, I saw a shooting star and not one, but two albino deer.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the deer here near Rapids?
No. Okay. Well, kind of close. I mean, I was probably within 15 miles.
Okay.
It was over on whatever that highway is that I drive in on.
Yeah. That one.
The one I turn on to after County E.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the big one.
Yeah.
80-something.
Yes.
Maybe.
Oh, so it's I think it's 89er. It's a niner in there. Anytime seeing those deer in the morning, I don't know if it's the same ones, but there's a family around here.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far deer travel.
I was wondering that myself this morning. I think they have a pretty broad range.
Yeah, I would think. That stride. I mean,
they
do move,
especially when they're getting in front of your vehicle.
I have never seen an ugly deer, but these albino deer, it has to be over since I've been back at WFHR, so almost 10 years. I've been seeing them, and gosh, it never gets old.
Yeah,
every time you see them, it just takes you back.
Well, and there were a lot of deer out this morning on the drive here, and so I was kind of seeing them everywhere. And those two, they were well off into the field, so good on them.
Yeah.
Way to go, deer.
That's smart.
The right way to be.
Yeah.
Not right on the edge of the road.
I imagine when you have absolutely no camouflage whatsoever, you got to be a lot smarter. At least the normal, whatever normal deer look like, but their coats seem to blend a little bit better. Yeah. It ain't easy being a white deer.
No.
At least this time of year, maybe during
the winter.
Yeah, that is not so
then
bad.
You blend right
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Which, to their advantage here in Wisconsin, I believe 10 months of the year are winter, so just kidding. Good to hear you. Good to have you in studio.
Nice to hear.
It was a nice drive in and everything. Took a little bit of a different drive in myself this morning, and there's nobody on the road, And I it's something that I love about the mornings.
It's peaceful.
And coming in, and I took a different route, and I got to go over. I went over the bridge and went alongside. Actually, took a route kind of I think you take along the Wisconsin River here.
Mm.
And when no cars out there, 5-something in the morning or whatever, just driving past it, just so peaceful,
so
nice. Something about that body of water driving alongside it that just, I mean, it takes me back to being a kid and driving along the Dan Ryan alongside Lake Michigan, you know, and stuff like that. Just something about that.
Water's cool.
Water's great. Trees are great, too. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little later. But combining water and trees, we'll be talking national parks as well.
Hey.
That was my closest way to segue that all that
bad.
Together.
I mean, parks have water typically and trees.
A little bit of a reach. A little bit, but this isn't. We are, before we go to our first break, I wanted to touch on this, Melissa. It is that time of year. We are here. Hoosel's Rise Music Competition 2023.
Woo!
It's going to be Thursdays in June and July at 6 o'clock over at Hoosel's at the Lakes at 1497 Alpine Drive in Nakusa. We say good morning to our friends at Hoosel's at the Lakes.
Good morning.
Find out more at hoozelsrisetomusic.com. Go ahead and bookmark that page. You can also find our Facebook page. It's a great way to keep up on things, and especially once the bands start playing, there'll be videos of the bands and everything from their shows.
Oh, yeah.
This is our second annual Hoosel's Rise to Music competition. It's kicking off Thursday, June 8th. This summer, musicians will compete for the title of Rise to Music Champion from 2023, cash prize, radio airtime, and more. The competition is designed to provide musicians with a safe space to showcase their music, gain exposure in the industry, and rise up their musical careers.
Mm-hmm.
Musician registration is now live. You can register right this second.
And you should. It's going to fill up fast.
Yeah, yeah. All genres are welcome, from country to rock, reggae, and even acoustic. This year, musicians can look forward to additional exposure on civic media. Because unlike last year, our radio network now with Civic, we have Director's Cut, we have Max Inc. Radio, mm-hmm. we have these alternative, these other programs to feature these artists.
Yeah.
You know, we're
all across the state.
Yeah. I am so looking forward to the weekly winners, you know, joining us on Director's Cut and mm-hmm. things like that. We're going to have a blast.
Right.
It's hard to imagine having a better time than we did last year with this.
Except
now
this year.
Yeah, now we're going to. Musicians are expected to prepare to play for a minimum of 15 minutes of performance time. They may perform covers of their own original material. For musicians, registration information is hoozelsrisetomusic.com. Just go there and you'll be able to find how you register. Qualifying prize, radio interview right here at WFHR, performance at Wisconsin Rabbits Rafters Ballpark, and $200 cash prize.
Hey.
Not bad for not even winning.
Right.
Like, it was just, you know, coming in second. That's not bad at all. The grand prize is a paid residency with Hoosel's at the Lakes, studio recording time, radio interviews with the Civic Media Network, performances at Wisconsin Rabbits Rafters Ballpark, cash prize, and the title of Rise to Music Champion 23.
Nice.
So exciting.
That's awesome.
And that's just for the musicians.
Right.
I didn't even get into the fans.
Right.
I didn't even talk about that.
There's going to be so much live music, and it's so much fun out there at Hoosel's. They have such a blast.
As we get closer to the actual competition next month and everything, you and I will go over a little more of what the fans will have in store mm-hmm. and everything. But you notice already a couple of different things from last year. The Rafters are involved with
yeah.
this. That's pretty cool. Nice job, Steph.
Way
good,
to go.
Smart thinking right there. Combining those worlds. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't want this to sound, because I think sometimes this stuff can sound like revisionist history or talking illy about your old employers or something like that. I'm not a fan of that.
Hmm.
We have great love for Heart of Wisconsin Media and Marcus
yeah,
and the gang
absolutely.
And everybody in Adams. We say good morning to them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have even had this competition without them
exactly.
giving us the springboard to be able to do it and having a music format like
I probably
we did.
Wouldn't be here.
You wouldn't even be here, Mel, and I hate the idea of that. That drives, oh, that scares me. That can put a shiver up my spine. I was joking with Seth the other day. I was used to doing this for so long by myself, and there's still parts of me, as you well know, I have to learn to still lean on you guys. I'm at the point.
Or I lean in and I say, James, shush.
Yeah,
shush.
Exactly. That's exactly how that goes, everybody. I'm at the point now, I don't know how I would do, like, I would do this with one less of you, let alone by myself. Like, no way. I'm leaving. If you guys are leaving, I'm out too. It's going to be a lot of fun with this, because we have these extra opportunities that we didn't have last year at the other competition.
And more opportunities for the musicians to get
exactly.
heard across our beautiful state.
We love live music. We love supporting local businesses. All that is fantastic. All this started with supporting local musicians.
Mm-hmm.
It's the essence of Director's Cut. is supporting local artists. Mm-hmm. And I believe talking to him and listening to a bit of Max Inc. Radio, I know that's a big part of what he does too and everything.
Yeah, so, Rocker's great.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's very cool to have all these things going on, along with the fact that we are streaming 24/7, mm-hmm. that our shows are all podcasted now. Go to civicmedia.us and be able to find all that great information. This is fun. This mm-hmm. is exciting.
Support local musicians, support local radio.
We will take a quick commercial break, come back and have some more fun, get into our National Day of Calendar on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Thanks so much for starting your Tuesday out with it. It's already Tuesday.
Yeah.
And this week is already.
It's day two, James.
It is day two. It just
did
feels...
yesterday fly by for you?
It really did. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. It actually really did.
Could you have shared that with me? Because I swear it was the longest day ever.
Was it? Yeah.
I don't know why. I tried to take a nap, that. You know, and I'm usually a good napper. I got maybe 15 minutes.
Hmm. Now, see, that would be a long nap for me. That was a short one for you. That was that wasn't very good. That does seem like
but
a kind of like a
we're
tease.
We're going to get into naps later.
We are. Yes, we
so
are.
So we should come back to that. Let's go on to our national
day. Yeah, for now, today, kicking off, it is National Financial Awareness Day. Yeah, I don't want to talk. I don't want that. I don't want to deal with that.
Who wants to talk about finances?
I don't. The only people I know that want to deal with finances are people that actually
have money.
Like, yeah, have a lot more money.
It's an important day.
It is.
Because
it is.
You should be aware of your budget. You need to know how much you bring in and how much you put out. And if those two numbers are drastically different one way, it's great. The other way, not so great.
Budgeting's important. I imagine that even filthy rich people have to budget somewhat, a little bit, probably not nearly as much, probably not at all. National Zucchini Bread Day.
Woohoo!
Yeah, zucchini bread's good.
My mom made the best zucchini bread. It's one of my favorite things that she would bake. And I know you're going to cringe at this, but go ahead. When I make zucchini bread this summer, when I get some fresh zucchini, you know what else I'm buying? Tub of country crock.
Oh,
margarine.
Yeah. Margarine?
Because that's the flavor.
Okay. I don't know much about zucchini bread.
We always had margarine in the house when I was a kid. We didn't do butter. So that's my childhood. Like, you just slather a slab
of
margarine on top of that zucchini bread, and it's just, it's yummy.
You make it
sound good.
Wrong,
but it's yummy.
You're selling it, what? National DNA Day. You know, that's a great one. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm a fan of the DNA. I'm a fan of it.
It helps. It builds us up.
Ever since Watson and Crick's discovery of the double helix, DNA has aided healthcare, science, even crime. Try a DNA kit or read about the history of DNA. I think it's fascinating. Mm. I think it's very. It's pretty darn cool that even twins have their own separate DNA.
Yeah.
Everything on this Earth. Has its own DNA, its own separate.
But we're all built from the same stuff.
That's it. We're just like music. You know, music. Mm-hmm. They're not making new notes. It's the same notes we've had since really the beginning and everything. But there's all these billions difference of combinations and different. Mm-hmm. You know, all this different stuff that we're able to create out of those seven notes. Though you know that simplicity.
Eight. Yes,
eight
seven.
Notes.
Well, seven. That's technically seven. You're right.
But same thing with DNA. Mm-hmm. It's just two people coming together and, you know, they're smashing all these, you know, chromosomes and all those things together and stuff. And boom, here we come.
You were going to go somewhere else.
I almost did. I caught myself.
Okay.
I caught myself.
Just DNA.
Barely.
DNA.
Back to that. The history of DNA. Let's
double helix.
The double helix
important
guy.
Science stuff.
It was during the 1950s that two scientists, one American biologist and one French physicist, published a work that revealed how the DNA molecule exists in the form of a double helix that is three-dimensional. Of course, the foundation of this scientific research dates much farther back. In fact, almost a century earlier in 1860s when Swiss chemist Friedrich Miescher first identified DNA.
Awesome.
It was around this same era that George Mendel, a scientist in Morveo, now the Czech Republic, is credited as the father of genetics due to his groundbreaking explanation of the basic laws of heredity.
Aha. Why you have the same color eyes as one of your parents.
You have the this part of the world in the Czech Republic. You have the Switzerland. You have France. You have America. You have all these different parts of the world combining, along with many others, to get where we are in DNA, which is very fitting considering what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I find that very, like, the symmetry of that very cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And it's just fascinating. DNA in itself, your own DNA, very interesting.
I would like to do one of those DNA tests at some point. I just want to make sure I can do it in a way that I'm not, like, selling my, my genetic makeup to somebody.
I'll say it's pretty cool to, like, because we did one of those, history tests about your creed and all that stuff and everything. And it's awesome to me how accurate my grandmothers were. Awesome. On both sides of the family, my nana, my grandmother, like the detail, all that, like they were darn near 100% right. Like it's crazy to me to think of that. How, and not too far fetched with my mother's side with Jewish history, especially after World War II, Jews were adamant about keeping a very detailed history for a lot of obvious reasons.
For very good reasons.
But still kind of cool.
Well, and in my family, we don't know our history beyond several generations back because my great grandpa changed the last name on my dad's side and they don't know what he changed it from. So we can only trace it back so far.
Yeah.
And it was because he didn't want the same name as everybody on the street that they were living on. So he changed it to something else and now that history has lost.
I wonder if it was harder or easier to switch your name back in the day. Now you got to jump through hoops. You got to do all these things.
Yeah.
But at least you know there's a way to do it.
Yeah. Like I think back then it was very much simpler.
Did you just like, I'm Smith now.
Yep.
You just told everybody I'm John Smith now.
Pretty sure that was kind of it.
People just rolled with it. Like, seems like a little bit easier. But, World Malaria Day.
Ooh.
500,000 people die of malaria each year. Donate to efforts to stop these deaths by providing mosquito netting and treatment to community-affected areas. It's crazy to think of this. I think a lot of people think of malaria as an old disease, a disease that hurt, affected people back in the day or something like that. Nah. In fact, more than 200 million people contact malaria each year, and about 500,000 people each year needlessly die from it.
Wow.
There are some really good organizations. There's some really good organizations. I know as a kid, Amnesty International was one of the ones that me and my mother donated to a lot that do a lot of these nettings and a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. It is National Hug a Plumber Day. It really should be National Hug Ask Before You Hug a Plumber
Well,
Day.
Well, yes, but also make sure that they're not in the middle of a job.
Yes, yes, yes.
Smelly.
Probably a good idea. But
I know several plumbers. They're awesome people. Hard workers and some of the salt of the earth, as it were.
Couldn't agree more. The history of plumbers goes as far back as the birth of indoor plumbing and sewers, as well as being responsible for the spread of civilization away from naturally occurring bodies of water.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this, the work that plumbers do, especially back in the day. I've gotten to work with plumbers on a handful of construction projects. I've been on home improvement gigs and everything, and I'm with you. Never met a bad plumber. If you are a plumber, you can work on a shed or you can work on a mansion. It's just scale. Martin Freeman. That's a great quote.
Yeah.
That's a great quote. I like that. That's a good one.
But there is that small element of space.
Yes.
You know, plumbers got to get into some pretty tight spaces.
Yeah, yeah. It's not an easy thing.
Mm-mm.
It's National Lingerie Day.
All righty.
Bow, chicken, chicken. No. Let's see. Looking for a confidence boost? Treat yourself to some intimate apparel that makes you feel fabulous and sexy. I felt very weird saying that.
Well, you could get yourself some lingerie, James.
Yeah, I guess I could.
If you wanted to feel fabulous and sexy.
But I don't think I would. Like, I've never worn any of that before. But if I did, I don't think that it would make me feel fabulous.
Okay, but I
feel
a question.
Like it would make me feel very silly.
Is lingerie just for women? Do they have lingerie for men?
I am going to completely bow out of this cover. I have no idea.
They have like satiny boxer shorts or something like that. Is that called lingerie?
Yeah, no, that's what I thought. That part I didn't know. They've definitely got like jockeys and boxers and things for men. Unfortunately, none of them look good. Like, none of them. But men are, we just ain't built this like for good looking things. We're just not built that way. Like, I mean, we're lucky that the human species, like, that women find us attractive at all, because I don't know how that happens. I don't get it. I don't know. But and I'm not supposed to get it. It's not for me.
Well, there you go. That's okay.
But I was more curious about the history of lingerie. Mm-hmm. Undergarments have a long and semi-interesting history that dates back many centuries.
Did it say semi-interesting?
Yeah, that seems cruel. That seems a little mean. But lingerie is a slightly more modern invention. Lady Duff Gordon was a British fashion designer working under the name Lucille, who had a strong influence on relieving women of their restrictions of the corset and instead bringing about something more practical. Mm. The bra was created sometime in the early 20th century, and the development continued from there. Okay.
And there have been developments continuing, because the science behind the health of wearing a bra and what designs are best for women's bodies is still in the development stages, I believe.
As long as I have, most of the roommates I've ever had have been women I've dated. And it, one of the clearest signs that they are done for the day is that bra coming off. Because it doesn't matter who they are, you know, none of those things. Every one of them, that noise that they make once it's finally off, that relief.
That sigh of relief. Yes. Yes.
I would have thought, because of that, I've always thought that it was a man that invented the bra. That it had to have been, you know.
Well,
it just didn't.
There are some practical things with having a way to contain your anatomy, because it can be uncomfortable if you don't have a way to take care of that. But I do think that underwire is not the greatest invention in the world.
No. It seems like a good intentions. It had a good thought.
Perhaps, but
the follow through was not there.
So did kind of the corset in its day, which obviously now we know is not healthy for a body to be encased like that.
Now, that I did have to wear once. I did have to wear, there was in Corpse. I come out in the opening scene in drag, and I've got a corset on. And I'm thin. I was thinner then. And it was still like I could barely breathe in that thing and everything.
Or move.
Yeah, yeah.
Bending is not really all that optional.
That's the other thing. I had to bend in that darn thing. And I'm like, I felt like a seesaw.
And
I
just
felt like,
think, those used to be made not from plastic that was probably in the corset that you wore, but whaleboning.
Yeah, then you're right.
It doesn't bend.
Yeah, you whalebone, anything involving that phrase, whalebone, let you know, no, I'm out. It's national. We got two more for you. National Telephone Day. That's a great one.
Hey, call up a friend.
Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you. These are the famous first words that were spoken over a telephone line when Alexander Graham Bell made the first call to his assistant in 1867. Watson then immediately called back and said his refrigerator was running. And thus, practical joke. No. That was the beginning of National Telephone Day. Pretty cool. I think by now most of us understand the history of the telephone, the importance of the telephone. But of course, we have evolved from past telephones. Nobody uses telephones anymore.
No,
nobody
now
calls
we're just
anybody.
Carrying them all around in our pocket and sending text messages.
I love. I don't do this very often, but I do love the idea of Alexander, like, either him flash forwarding to here or us going back to there and him showing us one of these. Like us showing him Alexander Graham Bell, one of these cell
phones. This is how we communicate now.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk to each other anymore. Thank you for your great invention, but we've moved on.
Yes. Thanks a lot. But we evolved. We're done
with it.
We
didn't learn, you know, the Morse code system or anything like that. We just figured out how to send actual text.
By the way, we have these things called emojis, too. I feel like that would really blow his mind, the emoji thing. Pictures going across, memes, GIFs, all that stuff. Like, just, We wrap up with maybe the most important one of all of these, and that is just my opinion, only my opinion, nobody else in the world's opinion. It's World Penguin Day.
Well, I think somebody else in the world.
Maybe.
Did you make this day?
No.
All right. You're not alone, James.
Volunteer to help and educate the world about penguins, the adorable flightless birds of the southern hemisphere that face dangers from melting ice caps and much more. Penguins are some of the most adorable, lovable, and impressive creatures in the animal kingdom. So why not dedicate a day to these flightless birds? That's not exactly completely correct. But penguins could fly. They just choose not to. They ain't got no need to it. Ain't got no, you know why? Why? They slide on their bellies. They swim. That's enough. World Penguin Day is a celebratory and educative initiative that encourages people to learn more about penguins and their environment, how important they are to our ecosystem, and the threats they face. Interested in learning more about them? I say dive in.
Yes.
There are tons of different types of penguins. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of rockhoppers. I think they're very cool. macaroni rockhoppers. They're the guys with little, like, they got the kind of like stuff on the front.
And yeah, I don't know. Eyelashes, big
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. But most, of course, they all traditionally are black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are found all over the Southern Hemisphere, from Antarctica to the Guadalupe Islands. Penguins are famous for their endearing waddles, their dedicated chick hatching efforts, and of course their basic what a lot of people call romanticism. Mm-hmm. I don't know if penguins would call it that. It is, but they are one of those birds that tends to mate for life.
Mate for life, yeah.
They will. Part of the mating ritual, they will search for hours, sometimes days, to find the perfect pebble.
Hmm.
And they will carry that pebble, think about this, with their fins, to their mate.
Wow.
Like,
they don't have any thumbs.
They got no thumbs. One of the ways penguins say hello is by flapping their right wing.
Okay.
And by say goodbye with their left wing. So they even have a hello and goodbye like us.
Aww.
When you see a penguin flapping both wings, sometimes that's drawing, but if other times it means that they are extremely happy and they are saying hello to their little tribe, that their little their group and stuff.
That's very much excitement.
Does anybody want to have to tell kids, hey, there used to be this creature called the penguin. They were really cool. We made lots of movies about them, but we didn't do a lot of conservation work to save them.
Mm.
Does anybody want to do that? Because I don't.
No.
So do us a favor. Keep an eye, read up on that and how you can help penguins even in Antarctica, because
mm-hmm.
you can, and there's lots of ways to do that.
Well, and the most important thing is to elect officials who are also concerned about that.
It goes a lot farther than I think most of us could ever realize. And, you know, we've already lost enough of our species of this world. Any chance to, because it ain't happening on my watch. You do not want to see me in a world without penguins. All right. There's not a lot of things to cheer me up as it is. There's not a lot of things, but you take away penguins, man, all bets are off. Don't let it happen. Plus, look at all the movies and stuff that we would miss out on and things like that. Come on, yeah. There's tons of good stuff. Happy Feet was so good. I had Robin Williams doing multiple penguin voices in that movie. I'm surprised that I don't talk about that movie every day.
I'm surprised you don't either. Like, have it running on a loop on your phone.
Right, yeah. Elijah Wood, very good in that as well. We'll take a break. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. 7:37 on the clock.
Recommend getting your heart trampled on to
anyone. Got some fun stuff to get into right now. I think this is an interesting one right here, especially national parks. I want to say that the national parks, I know for a fact that they open up the parks for everybody for free for like a certain stretch of the summer and everything.
Yeah, I think there's a day.
Yes. I just got to double check what that is. I saw two different sources, so I didn't want to give the information right away. So before we can, you know, dive into some of that and some of our, well, let's get into this part first. America's deadliest national parks.
Ooh.
Kind of cover this part of it, and then we'll get to some fun part of the story here. Because this is kind of a 2-3-parter here. America's national parks are great. A new study looked at all 63 parks and some of the dangers that some of them can have. And what your chances are, regarding some of this stuff. And the good news is they're very safe. They are. So I think that the headline is meant to bring people in because, of course, we can't just give people good headlines anymore.
Well, no, you got to have clickbait.
Exactly. So sick of that, by the way. I'm so tired of that.
It's sickening because half the time you read headlines and go, well, that's obviously over amplified for whatever the article is, and now I'm not even going to click on it.
Yes, yeah,
because
right,
I'm turned off by the headline.
Certain writers, and I pale to I don't feel right calling them that, but certain authors, journalists, whatever you want to say, I know that they just clickbait. That's all they write, so yep. I don't even look at them. Between 2014 and 2021, millions of people visited, and there were only 2,092 total deaths from any cause. Mm. It's actually pretty low. The most common cause are car wrecks, medical episodes like heart attacks,
right,
accidental drownings, and falls.
Mm. From a those things happen everywhere.
Right, right. Yeah, good point. From a sheer number standpoint, the park with the most deaths are Lake Mead, the Grand Canyon, and Yosemite.
That makes sense.
They are the most visited, I would say. Grand Canyon and Yosemite, certainly. Mm. But it's only because of so many people visit. Yes, sir. if you factor the number of visitors in, the most dangerous is actually North Cascades National Park in Washington State. Out of 220,000 visitors, 9 people died.
Wow.
So your chances of dying are around 1 in 25,000. After that, it's two national parks in Alaska, Lake Clark National Park, around 1 in 33,000 chances, and Wrangell St. Ellis National Park, 1 in 48,000. The one thing campers worry about is wild animals, but it turns out your chances of being killed by an animal at any national park is almost zero. There were only 5 animal-related deaths reported from 2014 to 2021. So unless that one per year, less than one per year. And it's usually bears.
Yeah.
And it's usually... So I learned something kind of cool over the weekend, and my brain is full of useless information, so I'm not expecting anybody else to find this cool, and it may even be common knowledge to most people out there, and I'm just a city boy learning it. But we have some listeners in the Alaska area.
Nice.
We'd love you to reach out to us and let me know if this is an actual fact or not. In a lot of rural cities in Alaska, it's illegal to grill. You cannot grill outside.
Oh.
You'll track bears.
That makes sense, but I didn't know that either.
I would have never thought of that.
No.
I'd be some fool moving to Alaska. I love grilling. I love, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. I grew up with a father that will, my dad, if he wanted burgers or brats or something like that, in January, opening up the garage. Yeah. We're going to figure this out. We're going to figure out a way to grill in the dead of winter. Like, that's my dad. I'm no different. I'm no better. I was in DeKalb with this little mini grill out on my porch grilling burgers once because I wanted
a
burger.
I'm glad you were outside.
Yeah, definitely I was outside.
Okay, good.
Bears would take me out in 5 seconds if I lived in Alaska. I just thought that was really interesting, and I also felt a little sad for people in Alaska. Like, grilling's fun. I love grilling.
Yeah, I guess that's why you go to restaurants then, because they have indoor grills that are safe.
Just interesting. Most of these deaths are related to that. People, not putting their food up and things.
Oh, yep. Or not being safe, not protecting themselves.
So we got that out of the way. Let's go ahead and talk about a new national park, or at least a possible new national park, which
really?
I think is the idea of is really cool.
That is cool.
Set between the rolling hills of northern Georgia and the flat plains of southern Georgia is a park with more than 17,000 years of continuous human history.
Wow.
The dirt and clay earthen mounds found in Macon, Georgia, were once part of a capital-like city for what is now the Muscogee Creek Nation. Carbon dating of archaeologists' artifacts shows that the site predates Gecopelli Tepe, anthropological site in Turkey, is one of the oldest we know of.
Wow.
This dates that over by 5,000 years. The Tower of Jericho by 9,000 years.
Whoa.
Stonehenge by 12,000 years. And Persepolis by 14,500 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Currently known as the Akamali Mounds National Historic Park, a destination that affords the area a lower level of federal protection than a fully fledged national park, the 2,000-acre area will likely be upgraded this year to become the United States' 64th and newest national park.
That's really awesome.
If and when the Congress grants the new status, it has yet to schedule a vote, the boundaries will expand to protect another 50,000 plus acres of floodplain habitat for a rare species of Middle Georgia black bear.
Hmm.
And some of the most tribally significant land in the United States. It would be the first national park in Georgia and the first national park co-managed by a tribal group that was co-managed by a tribal group that was forcibly removed from their their ancestral lands.
Hmm.
So I think that first and foremost, making good on some of that to yes. our Native American tribes, what we have left of them is literally the very least we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yep.
But also, it's pretty damn cool. Like, yeah. there's no other way to word that. I'm sorry, people, but that yeah. is awesome. How cool is that? Like, forget about, some of this more modern history and everything we have and stuff. Like, this is the history I'd be, if I was Southern, this is the history I'd be promoting. This is what I'd be backing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I want to see this. I want to check this out, whether they make it a national park or not.
Well, because the really, really cool thing about this is that there's so much history there. I mean, we have history all over this nation from the people who settled here first.
Yeah.
The people who lived here.
Mm-hmm.
We have it around Lake Emily, right? Yeah. You know, but you can't really see it. Because it's been overgrown, it's been overtaken by people own the private, much of it, so you can't even access it. To have 17,000 acres of our history,
yes, that's I'm so glad the way you're wording that too, Melissa. This is our history. This is American history.
Mm-hmm.
American history dates back farther than the Pilgrims, though.
Yes.
Like, you know, and I think we should be encompassing that. We
it's
should be
the
taking
history
pride
of this land.
In, yes, we should be taking pride in that. And especially continuing the history. We've lost so many tribes. We've lost so many of the native people of this land.
And languages.
Yeah.
And
any chance to preserve some of that, to have some of that survive and keep it going and everything, should be the onus should be on all of us. But it also, you should want that. Again, American history. Like,
right.
USA! USA!
This is so cool because this has already happened in Europe. It's already happened in Asia. It's already happened in these other places because it's the same thing. A lot of the people that live there now, their ancestors were born on potentially a different continent.
Yeah.
But they live there now. They were born there, and that's their land.
Yeah.
Same thing here.
Yeah.
So maybe my great, 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 whatever's grandfathers and grandmothers were born somewhere in Europe, obviously, and came here. But this is where I was born. This is my land, too.
Yeah.
But to be able to go to have the history. Like, that is just so cool.
So cool. I find it so awesome.
Yeah.
I really hope this goes forward.
I hope so, too. This would be really, really another great way to try to, not that we can't fix what happened.
Yeah.
But we can try to, what's the word I want?
Well, for me, I don't know what the word you're looking for, but for me, it's balancing the scales. Like the older I get, the more when I was younger, it used to be about outliving mistakes, making up for them, outdoing them, you know, that kind of thing. I did something that was a level 5 bad. I'm going to do something a level 10 good, you know, things like that. As I've gotten older, I realize it's much more of a balancing of the scales, and nobody is perfect in life, and we all make mistakes. We all have mess ups. We do our best to try to keep those scales balanced, and if we're any fortunate and we live a good life, those scales are a little tipped, actually. They're more positive than negative.
Mm-hmm.
I think that our history is like that, too. It's easy to look back at history and say, hey, they shouldn't have done this. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Revisionist history, hindsight is always 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
We do ourselves no good. None of us can go back in the past and quote unquote fix anything. And I also worry too about, you know, how things would be if we could do that. So here we are. We can't change anything. What we can do is do something about today and tomorrow. And that's where the balancing comes in, I think. That's where the scale balancing comes in.
I had to look up the word I wanted.
Yeah.
Ameliorate.
Oh, nice word.
It is a good word. It's make something bad or unsatisfactory better.
Love that word.
It doesn't change what happened.
Right.
But we can do what little bit we can to make it better.
I was able to find free entrance days to the national parks.
Oh, good.
You can find this at nps.gov. It's the national parks, national website, nps.gov. January 16th for the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm.
April 22nd, first day of National Park Week.
We missed that one.
Yeah, but it is National Park Week. So that's cool to remember. Uh-huh. August 4th is the anniversary of the Great American Outdoors Act. September 23rd, National Public Lands Day, and November 11th, Veterans Day.
So was that 5 days?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I feel like there's more, too, but we'll keep an eye on this. And of course,
the great thing is that there's now, I believe it's, I want to say the number is like 160 libraries across the nation where you can check out a state park pass or a national park pass. It's like renting out a book.
Yeah,
you can borrow it.
It's pretty cool.
For free.
The other thing, nowadays, so many of these national parks they have drone videos of. So
you can visit them online.
Yeah, they're, for people especially that aren't able to travel or able to maybe check out every single national park or something like that, I think it's pretty cool to see this drone footage. I can't get enough of it. The way that they're going through Yosemite and stuff, it's, oh my God, it's amazing. It's just really cool.
Drones can go, the Grand Canyon, can just like fly right through it.
I as a kid, I didn't think it was that interesting, the Grand Canyon. When I flew over for the first time going over to California and how well I could see it from the plane, that high up in the sky and everything. Like ever since then, I've I gotta get there. I have to check that out. I wanna ride horseback through the Grand Canyon like that.
Donkey.
Thing. Like, yeah, donkey.
I think you get
donkey.
To ride
That's
donkeys.
Right.
Yeah.
Give me an animal. I don't care. Whatever it is. That sounds fun. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and wrap up the hour of the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We are looking forward to taking you right up to the top of the hour. CBS News will come in and catch you up on all your world news. Mm-hmm. After that, we're going to be joined live and direct from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul probably going to join us. I believe Michael said yesterday that Paul would be joining us today.
Yeah, can tell us about the sunshine we're getting today.
Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. After we're done hanging out with Paul, you and I are going to get into Melissa in that hour, in the 8 o'clock hour. A hack for when you forget someone's name.
Oh, cool. I've got a few of my own.
Nice.
So we'll see if they line up.
Yeah. And 10 things people say they learned embarrassingly late in life.
Oh, I got some of them too.
Yeah, I got quite a few of those myself, yes. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, the 8 o'clock hour also features Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Mm-mm. Looking forward to that. For right now, what is the perfect nap length?
Ooh, okay.
Finally, the people at NASA are using their time to research something important. This whole going to space thing and stuff. No. Tell me when to nap. How long should I be napping? Way more important than the moon or Jupiter or the asteroid that's going to crash into Earth and Ben Affleck is the only one that could stop it. Or Bruce Willis, actually.
We're all going to die anyway.
Yeah, something like that.
We need to know how long to nap.
How long do I nap? That's the more important stuff. Now, NASA decided to study how long our naps should be, and they found the perfect length for a nap is... Do you want to take a guess or do you just want to hear?
I'm going to guess 42 minutes.
I like that. Nice. And great, that just, great number to just throw out there. Awesome. Nice work. 26 minutes is what they say. I was with you. I would have said at least 40 minutes. Half an hour to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but that seemed right in my head. 26 minutes. When you nap for 26 minutes, you'll be 54% more alert and 34% better at what you do next. And here is why. At 26 minutes, you're only going through the first two stages of sleep. You're not entering the others, which can make you feel groggy or even feel worse when you wake up.
Okay.
This is coming to us from Business Insider, which you can where you can find the complete article. To Melissa's point earlier in the show, NASA's studying sleep because of how important it is. Think about when do you sleep if you're an astronaut.
Yeah.
When do you have time off? Like when do you punch out? You know, that kind of thing. It says how important it is. The I take my nap. Melissa takes over. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Being smart with our time.
Yeah, because when you're tired, you're stupid.
Yeah, Yeah, and we can't afford to have stupid, you know,
stupid astronauts.
Yeah, nope. Yeah. I feel very confident in saying that no astronaut in human history has been stupid. Like, they're all, you got to be pretty intelligent to do that gig.
Right, but when you're sleep deprived.
Big difference of astronauts and people who just, I don't know, went to the upper crust, the upper essence of space and everything. I'm not talking about that.
Not worth talking about.
Very different thing there. I think the importance, and to answer my question earlier today of why NASA would be getting into this stuff, a little self-explanatory and a little interesting, I think, a little kind of cool when you think about that stuff. And also think about what it's like for our astronauts and putting ourselves in their shoes a little bit more. It's one thing to be farther than you have ever been away from everything you love and care about. It's another to the job. The job itself and everything is just not easy and taxing.
No, everything wants to kill you out there.
Yes, yes.
Literally everything.
Space designed for everything other than us.
Yep.
Like, we're the, and here we go, right, shooting up to it, like, you know, gunning for it and
yep.
everything. That's human spirit. That's human. There's nothing
the
stronger.
Adventurous spirit.
Yeah, there's nothing stronger in the universe than the human spirit. I don't care what it is, Teflon, you know, any kind of structure, any kind of thing you can think of. Nothing is stronger than the human spirit. Mm-hmm. We looked up. We've been looking up since our whole existence. And at one point, we decided, I want to get there. Looking is not enough. I want to touch that. I want to know what it's like to walk on that thing. And we did it.
Yep.
And we didn't do it like last week. Like, if we had gotten to the moon in the last 10 years, it wouldn't be as impressive. It would be cool. It'd be interesting. We'd be all fascinated, and it'd be the main topic and the main story across all, you know, networks and everything. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be nearly as impressive. The fact that we did it when we did, when we had so little tech, when we had so, I mean, computers were the size of this room back then.
Right.
The things that we were able to pull off, it's so beyond impressive that I get completely distracted by what we were talking about. And I just go on a whole tangent about how amazing the human spirit is.
Yeah. Oh, well, to defend my 42 minutes.
Yes, yes.
Because they said, what, 20?
26.
Six? Mm-hmm. Okay. I say 42 minutes is the whole time I'm in bed.
Okay.
Because it usually takes me about 15 minutes to fall asleep.
Sure.
Even when a nap. Unless I am so exhausted to the point that, but it's very rare that I can just lay down and pass out. Even at night, I don't do that.
Okay. So, yeah, I know that so well. I don't know how to shut this brain off. I've never known how.
Yeah.
I usually fall asleep out of exhaustion.
Mm.
Like, you know, I'm better. Like, if I'm sleeping next to somebody, I'm a lot better. That's a little bit different.
It's a distraction for you of sorts.
It is, and it's it's more of a like a calming thing for me. Like especially, but yeah, on my own, left my own devices, 4 a.m, 3 a.m, I'm finally
cracked.
Yeah, and my brain finally says, "Look, I'm done. You can try to stay awake if you want, but I already told the heart, I'm done. I'm retiring for the rest." And my brain just checks out. It's done.
You know, when I was in high school, I used to listen to a CD. I had one specific CD that I listened to over and over, and I knew it was a bad night if I got to track 11.
Yeah,
because it was an upbeat track. So as soon as that one would come out, I'm like, rats.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start it over. But now I listen to audiobooks when I'm trying to fall asleep. The same ones over and over and over. So it's familiar. So I don't get caught up in the story. But just that voice, it gives me something else I can focus on than my brain activity. And it allows me to just kind of relax and shut down.
I know more people that are like that. They like the TV on or something like that
TV,
on.
The lights.
I can't do the lights or the noise. Like I need, like, this is part of the reason why I think that I'm not good at sleeping is I need darkness and I love quiet.
Maybe you need earplugs.
Yeah, but then I can't hear my alarm in the morning or any of that stuff. Like, not that I need my
you
alarm
think
anymore.
You'd sleep through it, really?
Yeah. I mean, that I don't believe that's ever happened to me. at least in this job, I'll say close to 10 years I've been doing this, I don't think that's happened. But It's weird because when I talk to people about this and know a lot more about it than I do, the way I grew up where there was so much noise, these city noise, you know, constantly out of the high rise and everything. You know, there was no quiet nights in
right.
the city.
Right, you think you'd want the opposite.
Right, yeah. And figuring out why my brain is this way is something that I don't think will ever be discovered. I have a lot of people a lot smarter than me try to figure it out, and it ain't working so far.
I don't know, James. We've made a lot of advances in science here.
True,
and there's so much more we need to know about the brain.
Yeah, well, the fact that we are still mapping it gives me some comfort.
Yeah, some hope. Hope for a sleep night.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back with a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, and plenty more. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.